This is Duet with Tamara Anna Chislovska on ABC Classic.
My guest today really needs no introduction. She's thrilled and mesmerized us for decades and is currently on tour in Australia performing Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto and a new piece by John Williams written especially for her. I've snatched her away from rehearsals with the Sydney Symphony and now she's with me at the piano. Anna Sophie Mutter, welcome to Duet.
Thanks very much, Tamara.
I thought we'd start with the Mozart G major concerto, and I think that was your very first recording of a concerto,
yes,
at least.
Yes, it was my first recording. It also marked my, my first concert, my first international performance in 1977 under Herbert von Karajan, and together with the Berlin Philharmonic Orchestra, I gave my debut at the Whitson Festival in Salzburg, and that pretty much started my international concertizing.
This recording, Anna Sophie, is you as both soloist and conductor, you're directing. So what's the difference there? Do you find that you can shape everything more to your exact vision?
So the first recording with Karajan was really done with, as it was in the late 70s, with the big orchestra. And we have, thanks to God, moved away from that, more towards a smaller orchestra, more transparency in sound, the understanding of probably also in a rondo movement, the kind of swiftness of dance, the lightness, the closeness to the few players on stage in a setting which is really, when you're leading for the violin or, as you know, leading from the piano, really every player is much more engaged in terms of, like an extended chamber music group. And that gives the music an immediacy of dialogue, which, if you have the translator of the conductor, is just not possible in that kind of directness and privacy of conversation. And that is something I really liked in my collaboration with the London Philharmonic Orchestra. And you can hear that particularly well in the dancer's rondo.
That was the rondo from the Violin Concerto No. 3 in G of Mozart. My guest this afternoon, Anna Sophie Mutter, was the soloist and conductor in that performance with the London Philharmonic Orchestra. You've chosen Bach next, and you've actually chosen one of my very, if not my favourite, pianist of all time, and that's Dinu Lipati.
Glad to hear that. I grew up in the Black Forest, really at basically no man's land.
It's sort of on the border, really, isn't
in
it?
On the border to not only craziness, but a border to Switzerland, France, and yes, in the Black Forest. So there was not really a lot going on. Basel was the next destination where one would go half an hour by car to go to concerts. But my parents had an extensive LP collection, and Dinu Lipati was amongst them. Interestingly enough, also a large collection of jazz. So two of my really big influences were pianists in my youth and jazz, mostly also pianists, by the way, other than Ella Fitzgerald. And Dinu Lipati became my favorite pianist because the way his playing, you know, how he made a piano sing, the soulfulness and the uniqueness of his sound.
It was a golden sound, wasn't it? I feel it's a golden sound.
Yes.
And has such a purity.
Yep.
That seems to, you know, when you listen, it's as if each note is for you.
Yep.
That's my feeling.
Yeah, and each note is really played with blood. Later, I met Paul Sacher, who was a great mentor, also of Dinu Lipati, who was a friend of great composers, Shostakovich, Stravinsky, and so on and so forth. And then also subsequently asked composers to write for me. But interesting in that respect is that he knew Dinu Lipati and that he had helped him through a period where, sadly, at the end of his life, Dinu Lipati passed away from leukemia.
And 33 years of age.
33 years of age. And there's a foundation in Switzerland. Lambert Orcus, the wonderful American pianist, and I did play a lot of benefit concerts. And it was for me like, you know, a thank you to Dinu Lipati being able to donate my services to this organization, because Dino Lipatti really had been such and has and still is such an inspiration in my life, because he teaches us again and again that playing music is definitely not only about playing the right notes. But it's much more, music is much more than that. It can really be soul food.
That was Dino Lipatti performing Bach. That was Gesù, Joy of Man's Desiring, the choice of my guest Anna-Sophie Mutter on Duet today. And Anna-Sophie, you've got a concert to do tonight. So
yes, I should I should go now.
Just before you do,
yes,
I know that you're a fan of Bruckner, and
yes,
particularly the Symphony Number 4. It's such an intoxicating piece. Yeah. When did you fall under its spell?
Yeah, Bruckner. I choose the 4th of Bruckner because this was actually the first recording I ever bought from my pocket money. I must have been 10 or 11. So that was about 2 years before I met Herbert von Karajan. But to be honest, I bought the LP not because of Bruckner, but because there was this gorgeous picture of Karajan on the sleeve. But later, I listened to the recording, obviously.
Well, the woman's sex symbol, I think we could call him, couldn't
we? It's this epic music of Bruckner, which unfolds over an extended period of time. And Karajan was the master of developing a musical thought, a musical line, a theme, and he would drive it to its high point. But the tension he was able to create within that score was incredible. And just the conviction and the passion in which the Berlin Philharmonic plays, this third movement is amazing. It's totally hair-raising.
The third movement from Symphony Number 4 of Bruckner. That was the Berlin Philharmonic, conducted by Herbert von Karajan. We're moving on to John Williams now, and Anna-Sophie, this is a piece, the piece that you're playing in Australia is one that was written just for you, called
yes.
Markings.
It's the Australian premiere, actually, we're giving tonight. It's a piece he wrote over a period of a few years, and I had always begged him to write a violin concerto, but of course he's terribly busy and probably has better things to do, but I'm incredibly grateful that Markings came about. It's about 8 or 9 minutes for harp, chamber orchestra and solo violin. And I gave the world premiere last year in Tanglewood with Andres Nelsons and with John Williams president, as I have always been a huge fan of his music. If it's, his violin concerto from the 70s or pieces he has written for Yo-Yo Ma, classical scores for orchestra, but, of course, also his film music.
So another work of John Williams that you've actually recorded on your club album theme from Schindler's List.
Yes, with piano this time, although, of course, nothing beats the orchestration, which is the original. It has become one of my favorite encores in recitals. And I also want to break that habit of thinking that film music doesn't belong to a recital where you play Bach and Penderecki. Nonsense. I'll do it. There it goes.
That's Anna-Sophie Mutter with pianist Lambert Orcus. It was the theme from Schindler's List by John Williams, and she's performing John Williams's Markings tonight, which was written especially for her. You know, Anna-Sophie, on that album, the club album, which
yes.
I love, you've got an Australian work. Did you know that?
Yes, that's true. Yes, yes, yes.
It's called Jamaican Rumba.
Oh,
it's a little
yes.
bit like this. I'll just jog your memory. Thank you. Well, there's
groovy,
our duet for this
groovy
afternoon.
Stuff.
Fantastic. How did you come across that, just by the way?
I was looking for really original, maybe also forgotten, great, great tunes from the last century. And, of course, the great Jascha Heifetz has either rearranged, prearranged, or subarranged stuff. And
he
that's
was into
how
everything,
I came.
Wasn't he?
Oh, amazing. Just an amazing violinist. But also that kind of repertoire, the shorter pieces, which are so idiomatic, so strong. It's like a reduction, you know, of the essence of a composer. And that's how I came about the Arthur Benjamin Jamaican Rumba. And I read, maybe it's false, that Jamaica was so excited about, you know, the piece that they apparently till the end of Arthur Benjamin's life send a bottle, not a bottle, but a, what's that, a big one, the barrel, a barrel of rum to him.
Lutosławski is next, and this is another piece that's been written, well, was written in mm-hmm. consultation and especially for you,
yep.
and it's Chain 2. Did you work closely with Lutosławski at the time?
Chain 2 marks actually my stepping foot finally into the world of contemporary music in the mid-80s. Relatively late, but, you know, better late than never. And Chain 2 was the very first piece written and dedicated to me. And Lutosławski was just the most amazing is not the word. He was such an incredibly pure person as a man. And you can find that in his music. He has invented such wonderful ideas like in between the appatuta movements where there is a strict beat and, you know, everything is notated in the classical way. There were there are these ad libitum in sections with the piano, for example, where it feels like an improvisando, although the notes are there. But the timing of things, when you start a certain phrase, how often you repeat the phrase, gives you the freedom of, you're kind of reinventing the piece.
So that's the chain idea, isn't
that's
it?
That's the one chain idea.
Material will start before the other has finished.
Exactly.
And there's a linking between it.
It's brilliantly put. And that makes Lutosławski's music, particularly in that piece, ever so fresh and really contemporary in the sense that he had found a new way of notation. And I guess this is what contemporary, what living composers try to do over decades and centuries to reinvent that beautiful language. And Lutosławski has not only made a cerebral artwork, but he has really put his soul in it. And you can connect very, very deeply to it.
I feel like, I mean, I never met Lutosławski, worse luck, but just looking at his face, he seems so illuminated.
Yes.
And I feel like it's interesting that with so many of the great composers, they really do embody the philosophy of how their music touches you. And in fact, the totality of their music is them as a person.
Particularly when you consider where he came from. He was born in Poland. He had to say goodbye to his father in the death cell when he was only 5 years old. His father got killed because during the Nazi times in Germany and throughout Europe. And although I have asked Witold very often, how did that influence your music, he would always say, you know, I would never use music to write something autobiographical, but it's clear, I think, for every human being that, of course, life leaves its traces, even if it's only in your subconscious, and it will come through in your artwork, in your music.
That's part one, Ad Libitum, from Chain 2, the dialogue for violin and orchestra of Lutosławski. And it was my guest on duet, Anna-Sophie Mutter, performing with the BBC Symphony Orchestra. Anna-Sophie, we're coming to the end of this interview, and you've got to go. I mean,
absolutely.
I sort of already called the taxi
off
for you.
For my finale here.
You're going to play tonight with the Sydney Symphony. I was hoping that you would play something with me before you go.
Absolutely.
And I'm thinking of something, it's from one of your albums, but it's not a piece that you would normally associate with violin. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of maybe it's a song. Do you know what I'm getting at here?
Gershwin?
Could be. I think you already guessed it. I was going to give you the bells.
Ah.
You do a wonderful version of that. I was hoping you might play that with me today.
Absolutely. Summertime in Germany, winter in Australia.
We're going to hear you playing Tchaikovsky as your last selection. Before that, actually this morning I was just watching a German documentary on you, Anna-Sophie, and I saw you playing as a 9-year-old.
Okay.
And you were playing, do you remember
probably
the Gypsy
very grim.
And you were playing this.
Oh, sure, yeah. Anyhow.
And you should also use the music if you're a pianist instead of just making it up, don't you think?
You are brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
But what I remember, what took me about seeing that and seeing you, it was rapture on your mm-hmm. face. And it was as though you really did have a force field of music around you. Do you remember feeling that?
I remember my first violin lesson when I was 5 and a half, and I had a brilliant teacher, and she said, you know, now you put the violin on your left shoulder, and that, you know, might feel a little strange, and then you tilt your arm, and so on and so forth. And I remember I put my violin on the shoulder, and it was like, yes, you know, now I'm complete.
So let's say, for argument's sake, if I could give you back your anonymity and take mm-hmm. you back to being 5 mm-hmm. again, you would choose the violin again?
Absolutely, yes. It's, although I adore the piano and the repertoire, and it's such a sexy instrument, but the violin is my instrument.
Piano is best admired from afar, I would say. Don't get involved, Anna-Sophie. It's, you know, it's very complicated.
But one together with the other is also great. That's why I love to play recitals as well.
So you're playing Tchaikovsky. The time is ticking away, Anna-Sophie.
Yes. And let's push the pedal to the metal.
I am going to let you go.
Or the metal to the metal.
And you've played this piece, and we're going to hear, I think, the last recording you did with von Karajan.
Yes, that's correct. In 1988,
the Vienna Philharmonic. Yeah. And has your approach to the Tchaikovsky changed over the
Definitely.
Years?
Definitely. I can tell you one thing about the last movement. It's definitely much faster. I just love it. I love the virtuosity of it. I love to see my colleagues in the orchestra sweat and be in fear.
They're doing this, aren't they?
Yes, but then they have this great solo at the very end, you know, with the 60th notes, where they for once have to play all the notes I'm playing for the last 30 minutes. No, joke aside, a part of the speed today. I mean, actually, I play the second movement with mute throughout the entire movement, which gives it a much more subtle kind of retrospective, melancholic feel. And I think as a musician who has played also this piece for decades, I am transfixed by the score and how I can be even of better accompaniment to the winds and try to shape the sound so that it really helps, you know, this kind of community, this chamber music community, which every piece of music is, in my opinion. It's a gorgeous piece, really.
That was the finale of the Violin Concerto in D of Tchaikovsky. And if you leave now, you can still make it to
I
hear
can make it to my own performance? Yes, please.
Anna-Sophie Mutter will make it, but you can make it as well to the performance tonight. And you can hear it a few other times as well, and also with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. It was Anna-Sophie Mutter with the Vienna Philharmonic, conducted by Herbert von Karajan, a very special performance. It was their last collaboration. Anna Sofia, we've come to the end of our interview, and you know, there's only one thing left for us to do before you can leave. That is to give us a few notes. I've got the music here. I managed to get a violin score.
Seriously?
I've put my own fingerings in for you.
Oh,
and
how
suggestions
lovely.
For the strings. I'm sure you'll
need my reading
those.
Glasses. And off we go.
This is Duet on ABC Classic. Sophie Mutter, thanks for the duet.
Great pleasure, Tamara. Next time, Jamaican rumba.
Definitely.